Father, thank you once again, Lord, for today, the first day of the week, Lord, and while your saints are all over the world, Lord, gathered together to remember our Lord's resurrection. For without the resurrection of our Lord, Father, we know we are men most miserable, because there's no hope. But because of Calvary, because of the resurrection, the open sepulchre, and the ascension of our Lord, who now sits on the right hand of our Father in heaven. Father, we thank you for this, then, Lord, we know the blessed hope is coming for us, and we are looking forward to that, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the token of the Spirit of life. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word. So right now, Father, as you approach thy word once again, I pray that, Lord, you bless your people. Let us, O Father, all be attentive, Lord, and open our hearts and our spirit to the understanding of the word. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, today, we are dealing with the prophetic peace. Alright, I want to be relaxed to say what I need to say here, because after all, as I said, this is not just a preaching thing, you know. We all need to be taught. We are in the early rain period. We are not in the latter rain yet. This is still the early rain, the teaching rain. So we need to get ourselves grounded in the Word, be taught, and come to that state of completeness in Christ, the maturity, and be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, you know what? Over the many years since the internet was up, you know, technology advances so fast. Last time what we have, what we call that, what they call that board, you know, there's no
bulletin board service.
Bulletin board service, yes, where you chat and that's about it. But then as internet expands, you have, all these different apps that and programs that are available that are so amazing. You know, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have all these things. And so it's quite something anyway. And so over the years, I have, you know, every one of us, practically, we go on the internet and to look for things and whatever we're looking for, whatever we want to do. So I have received from different ones in this fellowship, as well as from the other countries, some articles, you know, sent to me, some links that asked me to look into, whether it's the YouTube or some website or some, you know, messages that are posted on the blog or Facebook. And of course, sometimes the articles and the video that were sent to me it's worthwhile looking at it and see what the brothers or the believer want me to see. And but of late, I find that many of these video, especially the preachers, the preaching, and I was given the link, and I said, oh my goodness, this is some of the things that I really know about these particular preachers. And I find it not worthwhile going there and to listen to it, because the preacher speaks of things that are traditional. But because some of these preachers, they are so well known, so well liked by the congregation, and also those who are subscribed to the YouTube channel, for example. So I always take a look at it anyway, and just to understand what this person believes. And of course, there are some information that I can gather, the good and the bad information, the right information, the wrong information. And I want to say this, recently I was given this link, and he's a very well-known preacher. And I think some of you will know him very well. His name is Dr. Jin Kim. Now, he's Korean, he became the name Kim, you know. So I look at on his what he was preaching, one of what was sent to me. So, oh wow. You know, the first thing that he approached to try to, you know, I want to say this, I hope you all pay attention here. Now, because I'm not here to just teach you something. I want you to understand how scripture is to be interpreted, how it is to be understood. Alright? And of course, I don't want you out there, or you know, some of you who are, you know, very tied up to with Branhamism, or so much linked to the quotes of Brother Branham, and you always want to quote Brother Branham to me, because how many times when I speak to believers like that, over a cup of tea or coffee, or in the group, when they say something, oh, about Brother Branham, Brother Branham said, yeah, and I start to quote Brother Branham. I know what Brother Branham said, please. But let's just get to the word. Okay, out there. This is what we want to know. You know. And people say, oh, but Brother Gunn, Brother Abraham said, you know, without the Holy Spirit, you can understand the scripture. I know that. But, you know, sometimes when I share people, they keep on telling me this. But let me say something. As much as we say, what Brother Abraham said, if we ourselves don't even understand the scripture, what's the use of it? Just because you believe them, message of Brother Branham, the spoken word books and tapes of Brother Branham, don't make you having the revelation. Because I know many do not have it. You see. So, what I want to say is this, is that this preacher, this particular one actually, there are others, but this particular one interests me because he speaks very well. He's from young man, I think he looks to me right now, I think about 40 or less. Very articulative, you know. From Berkeley University in California. He got, of course, he went to Bible school or something like that. And he has two churches. I think he pastored well, and he got a good number of subscribers to his YouTube channel. He liked to teach. But I also found out that there are many other Christians who put up their own blog or, you know, or Facebook, and they attack him. You know, kind of people are like that. People believe that what they believe is true and the others are wrong. But that's okay. You believe what you believe to be right, and the other ones are wrong, but do not damn him like he's a heretic, he's a false prophet, is this, you know what I mean? What I've been called false prophet, false teacher too, you know, and all kinds of things. So, let me say this, we are dealing with the prophetic beast. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, now you can turn to it, we all know chapter 13. But you know, this, we are living in this end time, and there have been a lot of texts on what we are to expect concerning the coming of the Lord. And of the two B's of the book of Revelation chapter 13, they are quite interesting, you know, these two B's to many people, and you have preachers giving their 2 cents worth of what they think it is. Now, when I was looking at this video of this preacher, well, he has this whiteboard, and he used the whiteboard to illustrate, and he's a good artist, and he draw and illustrate it as he draw, as he preach, as he teach. One of the things is that when I went into this particular video, happened to be an episode 13 or something like that, and he was talking about God. He was talking about the beast and things, and then he talked about how that there is only one God. And then he draw 3 circles. There is a Father, there is a Son, there is a Holy Spirit. You see, there are 3 gods. One God, but 3 persons. There is a Father, there is a Son, there is a... How do we know that? Because the Bible said so. You know, it's very easy for us to speak like that. Why? I can prove it to you, he said. When Jesus was in the water baptism, there was a Father in heaven. Do you see that? There was him standing there, the Son in the River Jordan. Then the Holy Spirit came down. John saw it. Very simple, right? And then there's another verse that can show it to you. 1 John 5:7. Oops. I was thinking, oh. So you take that verse to be true? And I found that he is a King James only preacher. And you know something about the King James only preacher and people who believe in the King James only Bible? They believe that the King James Bible is perfect. In Singapore, we have this problem already several years ago when my friend Paul was there. A big church in Singapore, Presbyterian Church. It was split into two over this issue because a group of elders believe that the King James Bible is the only Bible to be used because it's perfect and it's accurate without mistake. Now, I want to say this before I go into talking about the beast, because we are looking at the Word of God. Now, I want to let you know, I use the King James because I love the Elizabethan language or words, you know. But I use a lot of other versions as well. You know how many Bibles I have? How many versions I have? About 20 Bibles at home. Different Bibles. Now, of course, you don't have to buy them. You can actually go on internet for free to do your search. But I use the King James. But I know the King James is not perfect. Because King James is a version. A translation. You know what translation are? All these translations were taken from, majority of the texts, as you would call it, Textus Receptus. There were thousands of manuscripts. All were copied by hand. We call it copy manuscript. From one original to another. So, over time, what happened is this. Somebody got a copy of the manuscript. Because in those days, there's no printing press. You understand? Back in those days, there were no printing press. So, if you want a copy of the Bible, you have to copy. You have to use your pen and write on paper. You copy it. So, now, what happened if you take a copy and say, I like this. I like the book of Isaiah. You know, I like to make a copy for myself. So, you copy it. So, if you want to, let's say this one is a manuscript. Okay. And if you want to copy it, you know, if you want to look, okay, let me just show you, all right, what I have here. Now, you probably can see from there. Can it be shown? Roughly. Okay. Now, if this is a manuscript, you want to copy and make a copy of, okay, that's Hebrew. Then you find what, all my my annotation here. All my notes that I put on the side here and all here and there. Now that's what happened when somebody do not know. They thought that there was part. Those were part of the original text, so they just put it in. And that's why they sit to so many thousands of copies. And so what happened? But there are those who believe the King James Bible is so accurate, no mistake. Now, turn to 1 John 5:7. I want you to remember this again. You can delete it from the King James. But I'm not sure whether the New King James has it or not. You know? But there are other versions that have removed that because they know that that is a copies that are editing. 1 John 5:7. What a text is wrong. Alright. In your King James, this is what you read, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. That is continued, verse 8. Alright? Now, the problem is that the words, they are not in the original. Verse 7 to verse 8. Alright? The words that you should cancel it out is this. Okay, first of all, let me read. For there are three that bear record. Stop there. Okay? In heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, and there are three that bear witness in earth. Stop there. All that word from in the heaven, in verse 7, to in earth. Full stop there. All those words are not in the original. So your Bible should read verse 7 to verse 8 like this. For there are three that bear record. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agrees in one. So you see the amount of words that were already? Do you know that? Alright. Another place of and that's why when he said that, you know, that's where 1 John 5 7 showed that there are three. Somebody wrote it on the side of a manuscript and somebody later on copy into another copy. Do you see what I'm talking about? So the original Greek text and the original Hebrew text, though they are out there in the copy, people are looking at it very carefully. And that's why we have the Bible in different versions. This is the very first version, 1611. Alright. And it is as accurate as it possibly could get. But you cannot say that it is 100% accurate. Like Isaiah, that one particular verse, chapter 9, verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Now, the question right here, right now is this. My King James shows that. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. I think the New King James has removed the word N-O-T off. Is that right? Brother Prati, is that New King James?
Yes.
It's not there, right?
Yes.
So they have removed it. So the question, how was I so interested in the Bible? Especially this one. Now I'll share it later. Because someone asked Dr. Ivan Penning, can you prove to me which text is correct? The King James one or the one in the RV? Did God increase the joy when he multiplied the nation or did he not? Can it be proven which text is correct? And Dr. Ivan Penny, he used Bible numeric and he said, N-O-T should be out of the picture. Now, for those who do not know, this, of all the Bible versions that I have, this is the one that I love the best. It's more accurate than the King James or many other versions. Let me just show you what it is, so here. So you can see it out there. Alright? Can you see that? No, okay, too close? Alright, can you read it? Alright. It is called the New Testament from the Greek text as established by Bible numeric. Right. Edited by Ivan Penny. You can't buy this Bible anymore unless you only buy it online, and it's going to cost quite a lot. But I was told, Sister Yvonne told me that she found it online and it's free. But not in the book form, but in PDF form. And you should download it and you can have it printed. And you read from there. And this Bible will tell you. And this is only in the New Testament. That's the reason why 1 John 5:7 is not there. Do you know what? The Lord's Prayer. Where is the Lord's Prayer found? I want to show you this. So because we want to go into the prophetic beast, we can see how people misinterpret it. Go to the Lord's Prayer. You know where they found it? It's in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The Lord's Prayer. I think every one of us, in fact, every Christian more or less, will recite this by memory. Right? But do you know something? The last part of this Lord's Prayer are not there. It's added in. The last part is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's been added in. So the Lord's Prayer should be, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's it. That's it. The Bible never even proved it. So you see, how accurate is the King James? You see, because, you know, in those days, people recite prayer. You know what I mean? Especially the Catholic, right? Now, this is the King James Bible. It was the time of the Catholic, you know, the Church of England issue, and King, and that is what they call this. King James wanted to be away from the Catholic influence and all that. So he started having this, a Bible version. And so, you know, the people, you know, somehow, whatever is already on those copy, which the monk, the priest, or the Catholic system, they've been using it, and you know, they always write this. They don't pray. They don't pray prayer, so to say. You know, they say prayer. You know what I mean by saying prayer? They have a picture, and they mumble. You know, so many times when we pray to the Lord, we just mumble. And we just, oh Lord, you know, I love you and praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go. You see, and when people say, let's pray, and they will say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? They just say prayer. So somehow then, and then somebody might have to say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then somehow over time, this was added in. So now if you ask, bro, God, can we therefore trust God that there is such a God of the Bible, and the Bible is written by this God, if there are so many mistakes in here? Let me say this, brother and sister. Mistakes are made by man, not by God. And even as Brother Abraham said, no matter what version you read, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, no revelation can come to you. It's not about, you know, how accurate that you read this word, that you can understand it. You know, as much as it is there for our study, yes. God knows how to put words there, but sometimes man added word to it. You see? The Bible says, you know, don't add to it, don't take away from it. But God means, it's not just black words on white paper, it's a very revelation of what it is. And of course, there you have, on some website, somehow, you know, when I was looking at this preacher, you know, this, and there was all the remark, comment made, and then there was another link I went to, and I said, you see, the Bible has so many contradictions. And they said five arrows that prove that the Bible is not God's word, and things like that. One, the Bible, and they quote the verse, God is invisible. no man have seen God at any time, right? The next moment I said, see, God cannot be seen. Quote another verse. God spoke to Abraham face to face. Oops, see? Now here God can be seen. So the Bible cannot be trusted. Matthew 28:19, baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Acts 2:28, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. See the contradiction? So it's not written by God, it's written by man. Oh, interesting. But let me say this one thing. The revelation, if it is true, that is why I said this. Every ism that comes up in the world, they're not of God. They're of the devil. Whether it's denominationalism, Presbyterianism, Catholicism, Branhamism, or anybody make it Gunism, they are the same. When you make something into a cultic, you know, thing, they are not of God. But if we come back to the Bible and really look at the Bible, that's the reason why the message that God gave us in the last days is to get back to the Word of God. And if God started with the apostolic ministry, He could end with the apostolic ministry to get the people how to look at the Word of God and have a foundation. There are a lot of people that don't have a foundation. That's why they have a problem. They are here one moment and then 20 years down the road, they're out of this. Because they're confused. Yep. I don't know. Even Brother Mike Stoudemire was telling me. You know. And I have seen many who came into our ministry here to understand the word. They themselves testified that they have left their church for many years because they were confused by what's going on. They were frustrated with all the mess that was going on. Do you see? But if we come back to the word, if we take the look from Genesis all the way to Revelation, there must be a consistency. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you preach a doctrine, if you teach a doctrine, that doctrine must dovetail into whatever other doctrine that you're preaching. It must fit in as a puzzle. And you would not see a cow eating grass on top of the tree. Then something is very wrong. Do you understand that? Alright. Let's go to Revelation 13 now. The reason I want to tell you, dear audience, the importance of looking at the Bible closely and not jumping here and there. Alright, Revelation 13. Now, I don't think we need to read all that. But let me just pick up this verses where the Bible mentioned about the beast. Verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his authority. Gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in the blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwelt in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, we are just enough for that. Now here we have this beast, first beast. I'm not going to deal with this first beast, because I'm going to deal with what's happening right now. In our understanding of this revelation, there are two beasts here. This is the first beast. Now look at what the Bible says here. We're looking at visions. Now, according to this preacher I mentioned earlier and others, they're like my friend, okay? My friend Paul. Who believe that the Bible should be taken literal. Alright? Literal. Unless otherwise it doesn't show literal. I don't know what that means anyway. So, if we were to take literal, we expect to see a beast coming out of the sea. I mean, if you want to talk about literal. Oh, but it's a vision. Here, we know it's a vision. Okay, now you say it's a vision. We know it's a vision. But there are many places in Scripture where a lot of things are said are not necessarily literal. They point to something. You understand that? Huh? Like a parable. They point to something. So here we have this vision of John. He said, the first beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. So now if you are John, if you were John, and you were given this vision, and you saw this beast come out of the sea, how would God show this vision to you? Now that's why I said, people, that if you look at the vision, even Revelation chapter 10, people have not even known how to interpret that. When you look at the vision, you have to look at the vision, how God showed it to John progressively. This beast did not just pop up in John's vision on the sea. Alright? Or standing at the beach, on the beach. He saw this beast coming up. That means to say that the beast walks out of the water, so to speak. So what is the first thing you see when the beast come out of the water? Come on. You see the horns. You see the horns, obviously. When a beast comes out of the water, you see the first thing, you see the horns. Even though he didn't say, that John said, John, you know, said, I see horns coming out of the sea. Then I see the heads. Oh, it's an animal, it's a beast. No, it's not like that. It's just showing what comes out like that. And then when we look at the vision, we need to see what was the emphasis upon this first beast. You see the horns, then you see the head. And obviously, what kind of head? There are seven heads. The ten horns are only on one head, not scattered all over the seven heads. That some, like this preacher, you know. I know, you. If you go onto the internet, Google it, the beast of Revelation, first beast of Revelation, and you see a lot of images, a lot of pictures, and you see how they are depicted. You see how they are depicted. Huh? All kind of depiction. Seven heads, ten horns, some of them draw a horn. I mean, if there is a horn on every of the head, so there are left three. So where did the three horns go? You know, that's, you know, I see people draw all kinds of things like that without any understanding. And then the Bible also then continued to say that this beast, you know, was like the leopard, the bear, and the mouth of the mouth of a lion. Now we need to understand that these beasts came out of the water in the Gentile world. And what is Gentile world? And we know that the Bible has, we all know how civilization started. That's why we are understanding anthropology, the migration of man, how the races starts. To the three sons of Noah, then we begin to understand things. And not just picking here, picking there, and just throw it out there. That is not understanding revelation. That is not understanding prophecy. You understand? Sea has always been about representing the people, the Gentile world. Do you understand? Okay? So when that first beast came out, See the 10 horns on one head, and then the other heads coming out as the animal comes up. You see the body, you see the foot, see the tail and so on. Then they can understand that the emphasis on this part of Revelation is on the one head. On the one head that was bruised. Alright, that was healed. And there are 10 horns there. Those are the 6 heads. They're all histories. Well, we have done that already. But we just bypass that. Let's go to the second beast. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is simple. Many preachers say, oh, it's very simple, you know. And this particular preacher said that it's coming out of the earth. It's coming from inside the earth. Inside the earth. You understand? It's coming from inside the earth. And the earth inside there is hollow. That's where the fire is, the lake of fire is. And all those who died are there now screaming. The beast pop up from there. And what is this beast? And later he was trying to say that this beast is the false prophet, and the false prophet is... Oh! Who is the false prophet? It's Islam. This has been for the last 30 years or so. Because prior to that, I never heard of anybody saying that the false prophet, this second beast, was Islam or Muhammad. But in the last 30 years, I did a search and said, wow, where did it come from? It came from somebody whose name is Walid Shubeh, who was a converted Muslim to Christianity. And how did he arrive at that? Interesting. Let us go and then I'll show it to you. Now, the interpretation that this beast coming out of the earth and he had 2 horns like a lamb and he spake as a dragon. Well, this man, you know, like many, they would draw a lamb with 2 horns. Back in the day, when I was in the Assemblies of God, I know that this was traditional teaching. But one day, God opens my eye to see that this beast that came out of the earth is not a lamb. It didn't say that it was a lamb. Got it? I want you to remember that, huh? But it has 2 horns that looks like lamb's horn. Am I reading it right? Huh? In contrast to the first beast which came out of the sea, this came out of the earth. The sea has always been there. We know the civilization has started out there. The Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah and other places of the Old Testament that the sea always is the region of the Gentile world. And that's why civilization starts out there. But now here it came out of the earth. Came out of the earth. Now he talks about the earth, very strange, huh? It is not just popping out of the earth and you try to have it represent some other religion thing. No. Why is this earth? And if we look at this Bible carefully and what it transpired later on, we realize that the gospel that was there in Israel move northward and westward to Europe. And all right? Throughout Asia Minor. It did not go eastward to China. It didn't go down southward as far down as, you know, central of Africa. It's all around the coastline. Egypt, Morocco area, Ethiopian area, right? So the gospel God went north and westward. And we know through looking at our study of Revelation of the 7 church ages, or the 7 churches that are out there, representing the age, we realize how over time. It's about 300 years later, or in fact not even 300 years, about 50 years later. And the Nicolaitan spirit came in. And by and by, it became a doctrine. And then you have the clergy separate from the laity, and all the power rested on the clergy. And then sooner, beside the bishop, the overseer, then up there in Rome, a bishop became the archbishop. And become the archbishop, become somebody in power over the others. So because of all that, it takes many, many years, because nobody knows how to get out of the region. They find it hard to go eastward. Southward is not their place. But until the time of Columbus, right? And they found, oh, you have a new land, a new continent, and discover it. So this Christian, get out, away from Catholicism, Anglicanism, you know, escape from all that persecution. There's no proper freedom of worship. And they sail across the Atlantic and found a new land, America. And America become that land. So the question is this, when we look into the Bible, we want to see how the Bible is interpreted. But let us continue these verses down to a place where I want to show you. Okay, that's verse 12. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and that which dwelt therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So now you have the first beast, you had a wounded head, okay, and this second beast did some miracles to cause that first wound to be healed, okay. And he did great wonders, so that he made the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sudden man, and deceived them to dwell on the earth by means of these miracles, which had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should make, to both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man should buy or sell, save that which had the mark, or the name of the beast, and the number of his name, and here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his name, and his number is 600, fiscal and 6. Okay, now we know the 666. But interestingly now, of late, about the last 30 years, many preachers said, we found the answer. The mark of the beast, 666. Oh, it is not written in the Bible, in the original Bible. We know it is Greek in the New Testament. But when God had John wrote it, the signs that like him, let them then have understanding come the number of the beast, the number of a man. Okay, verse 17, sorry. And there are no man should buy the son, save he that had the mark. So, the mark. What was it? It is not 666. It's actually not written in Greek. It's written in Arabic. Arabic. And the man said, well, those are the speech anyway, quote for whatever the man who found it. He said, when John wrote it, when John saw that in Arabic, and actually the Arabic word actually says 666. Okay, let us look into that. This is what you see. Below are photos of Greek symbols translated in the Bible as 666 from freejesus.net. The gold symbol, bottom and right, is Aramaic for Allah. when turned and mirrored. Additionally, crossed swords are the symbol for Islam. So in 666, we may find the symbol for both Islam and Allah. So I don't know how that the Greek word, can you see the Greek words written up there on the top in those gray area? And the gold symbol that on the right hand top and the bottom, that's Arabic. Now, according to this man, he said, but look at the Greek, actually it's Arabic symbols, and the Greek word, the way it is written, it should be has the Arabic word in the name of Allah. So 666 is in the name of Allah. And that's why they said, we found the true revelation. The Bible also said, take the mark in your hand and your forehead. And that's why you see, he said, did you see when those Islamic terrorists, they put a headband down in the name of Allah? 666. On the arm, you see the band they put on the arm? 666. So those who are Muslim, they have taken in 666. Put the false prophet, Muhammad. And so on and so on and so forth. How on earth did they arrive at this? What is an antichrist? Is Muslim against Christ? The Muslims do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Right? They believe that He is coming by, He will judge the world. And that's it. He is just a prophet. And that's it. But what is an antichrist? An antichrist is one who calls himself the Christ, but is anti. Who is the man that we know who consider himself in the place of Christ, but is antichrist? Or antichrist, as Americans want to pronounce the word I as, you know. So, who is the antichrist? Vicarius Filii. Vicarius Filii. Vicarius Filii. You see the 666? In the place of Christ. The vicar of Christ. The man who sits in the temple. The Holy Father. You get it? But of the last 30 years back, I think not even 40 years, I think that this thing about the 666 being in the name of Allah, equals to Allah, I don't know how that comes about. So now you see how, you know, people interpret the scripture like that. And let me say this. The first beast and the second beast, they're very related. Okay? But how is it that the second beast, the Bible says in verse 11, they came out of the earth, and as according to this preacher, Dr. Kimmel, it pops out of hell. Because they come out of the earth. Pops out of hell. Comes out of the earth, means the earth, the whole earth, the earth, inside the earth, is where all the demons are. So it pops up there. So then, this first one came up from there. Now I want you to picture this, to look at what we are looking at. We are looking at the end time, and in end time scenario, we have Christian preacher, we have all this group wanting to look at all these things that's happening as described in the book of Revelation about the coming of the Lord. What are we, you know, what are we looking at then? If we do not know the plan and the purpose of God, how God works. That's why I tell you about this. It's important about the word and the works of God. The words of God that He gave to you, that He wants you to live. And the work that He had on this earth, what He's doing through you, through me. And what we are going to see, the Bible unfolds to us. God said that we're not living in darkness. Well, we are children of light. Is that right? So we ought to know. We should be able to see. But our people see. No, they look at the prophet. Brother Bram, they look at the church. This is my church, the biggest church in my country. Look at all my pastors, a great pastor. No, you're looking at man. A man will fail you. And I tell you this many times too. Look at God. Look at His word. Anybody can fail you. That's why. Brother Abraham, mystics? You make mistakes? Oh, no. Abraham, I don't like to hear that. And they always said, you dare to speak against the prophet. Am I speaking against the prophet? Elijah made mistakes. Ah, you dare to speak against Elijah? They know Elijah made mistakes? Huh? They know John the Baptist made mistakes? Oh, brother Gann, you dare to speak against the prophets of God? A spade is a spade. What do you want to call it? A club? Oh. So, let us be honest and truthful. God said, come, let us reason together. Yes. Reason together with Him in His own word. And we will not go wrong. Look in verse 11. Now, what do you care if we look at 11? Right? I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he speak as a dragon. Now, as I said this, when Christian, preacher or theologian, interpret that this second beast that came out was a lamb with two horns. And that's very wrong. Because I want you to know how the words are used. Okay, first of all, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. I want to show you how God used words. Remember the Bible, Paul said, the scripture are in breath of God. Okay? Revelation 4, 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was the lion, second was a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rays rest not day and night, save. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come now. Look at this. In the midst of the throne, okay, round about the throne, in the midst of the throne and round about it, there were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And each of them has different feature. Now, are these beasts real? Are you going to find them in heaven when you go there? Oh yes! Many preachers say yes. You know, and some people say, why can't it be? If you compare this here, the four beasts, to that which Ezekiel saw. Ezekiel saw a creature with four faces and four sides, right? But here they are separate. It's just a vision shown to them in different form to depict something. But people believe they go to heaven, you're going to see it. You're going to see seraphim with six wings. You're going to see them. Nope, you're not going to see them. Barakan, how can you say that? My Bible said there are six wings. The cherubim have a pair of wings. The seraphim have six wings. Now I said this. We know that there are only two creatures. Two creatures that God created. They were created in the image of God. Image and likeness of God. Is that right? That's the angel and that's man. Only the angel are spirit. Men are made of dust of the earth. So now, if the angel have wings, as I said this many times, if the angels have wings, then I should have wings. Right. The Lucifer have wings. What about Gabriel? What about Michael? You think they have wings? So when Gabriel came to Mary, or when Michael came to Daniel, did they appear before them with wings folded up at the back nicely, folded up, or raised up magnificently like you would watch in some, well, some movie, I don't know, some fantasy movie, or whatever they draw? Huh? Or some picture has depicted by many people when they try to depict Bible stories? We are created in the image of God and the likeness of God. If the angels have wings, God have wings. Jesus would have wings, I would have wings. Because we are in the image. Isn't it? Am I making sense to you? How do you read the Bible? Just because you read it literally because there are wings there? Don't forget these are visions. But when the angel appear literally to Abraham, to whoever they are, the Bible call it many. Right? They look like men. Physical, not in visionary form. They can sit and they can eat. But in visionary form, you just cannot touch them because they are in visionary form. They say, whenever you ever have a dream or a vision of angel moving around, you will see them with wings. Because wings depict flight. I'm not stupid, you know. All the years studying the Bible, Georgia, understanding it, the Bible, to make sense, as I said, there must be consistency, or else we are in trouble. Okay. Now, the Bible here says beast. This Greek word here is not the same as the one you find in the two beasts in Revelation 13. Got it? The Greek word here for this beast is zoon. That means living creature. They are living. They are alive. So different. Z-O-O-N. Z-O with the first O with the micron on it. A micron on top with the dash. Zoon. Living creature. Okay. Go to Revelation 13 now. Verse 1. Look at these two beasts. The word beast here in the Greek word is philion. Huh? Or philion. Philion. If I pronounce it correct. It's written as T-H-E with a micron on top as well. R-I-O-N. Philion. Philion. It means wild beast. Wild. Okay? The one over there in chapter 4, the four beasts, they are living creatures. They are not wild. Though he shows a lion, it doesn't mean it's wild. No, they're just living creatures. Representing something. But these are wild beasts. Hey, nations are wild. That's why they pick the first beast and the second beast. They are wild because men raised up, they are wild. They fight. They are greedy, they are covetous, they are wicked, they are evil. Wild beasts. Look. Verse 11 of chapter 13. If those who interpret that this second beast is a lamb, is lamb a wild animal? Huh? Okay, let's go to Revelation. Chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, verse 13. Here we have this verse. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slave and souls of men and so on. Beast. You see the word beast here? The Greek word is tekteno. Huh? The Greek word is kteno. K-T-E again with micron on top, N-O-S. That means they said that these are domesticated animals, like sheep, like it's mentioned here, and horses. They are not wild beasts. They are not felions. You see how God has put this word out there, and yet people, I mean men like who call themselves preacher, doctorate degree with a doctor in front, or with a PhD, a Bible scholar. The Bible has mentioned some places, they said, as a preacher, a student. As a teacher, a student. You want to teach, you first be a student. Learn! There are a lot of people not learning. You know, God has set gifts in the church. But everybody does, you know, especially in time, message people in movement, because they have read so many books of Abraham, hears, heard so many tapes of the prophet, immediately they become preachers. That's terrible. And know nothing, and now we have a lot of people, a lot of these in organized religion, you know, they go to Bible school, seminaries, and they came out with degrees and they think they're qualified to teach and preach. I feel so sorry because I realized one thing, you know. I mean, that's why when I was in a denomination back then in the 60s, I said, oh my, the Lord coming. I thought that I need to go to Bible school. And how am I going to Bible school or seminary? Because I'm from a poor family. I don't have the money. Now, if I were from a rich family, if God called me and I were from a rich family, you know, I probably would have gone up into a Bible school or seminary, yeah? Probably I'll be sent to America, to some great Barber's college. Now, thank God, he wasn't that. And God had a plan for me to get this message at any time, to get out of the system, came out of the system. I spent a whole lot of time with the Word of God and prayer and fasting up there by myself, take the Bible and read and study. And that's when the Bible became a new book. You know, and a lot of things that's in the back of my head that belongs to the tradition, it takes a while for it to go out. Yes. Alright, now let me show you this picture. Let's go back to the first beast again, and let us look at the first picture here, the first beast of the woman sitting on it. Alright. In chapter 13, of course, when you first see the beast, there was no woman on it until after chapter 17, I believe. But, and this is the best I can draw, you know, when this is not rising out of the sea. Anybody, this was in chapter 17 where there was in the wilderness, the wild, a desert land. It depicts something else. But it's the same beast that came out of the sea. But this one, I only got this one. I couldn't find the other one where I kept it. But you see, look at the beast, as you can see. There's only one head with all the 10 horns on it. Alright, the rest of it are history, already depicted. Okay, the second beast, it says that the beast that come out of the land, that has horn like a lamb. Now we know that to be America, as I said, because the movement of the gospel, they came out of the known region of Asia Minor into Europe. And over time, in a persecution came in, false doctrine came in. There were oppression and persecution on true believer, so the believer had to migrate to a place away from that sea of people. And there they found this land called America. So they went there and they settled there. The Bible said this is very interesting. When I first studied this, you know, being that I was back in the examinations of God in the 60s, I've studied it, you know, I did Bible study, wrote to a period by a Bible course, you know, learning typology, understanding things. And of course, I was thinking, oh yeah, this second beast, the way we read it, because the way that I was taught it, and heard what preacher said, it's a lamb with two horns. But when I examined carefully, the Lord then showed me, It's obvious. And in America, what do you see? When people went over there the first time, there are, I can't remember, I think from the record I found out, I think there are 50 million of this bison. 50 million of this bison, if my memory serves me, that's the figure. Running all over the plain of America. Back then, of course, you don't have America, the America today. They were the land of who? Of the natives. The Indian. The Cherokee. The Apache. Huh? The Sioux. The Shoshone. The Chukwawa. All those Indian tribes are there. And you know where the Indians come from, right? They came from across Alaska. From Mongolia, from China. That's why you can see that trace. The anthropology and the move on the man, you understand. Yeah. And this is the animal that have two horns like a lamb. Now, do you look at the picture carefully, this bison? Huh? And look at the little, the calf. Well, no, it's just like sheep, more or less, you know, like lamb anyway, it looks like that. But he isn't. The bison had horn like a lamb's horn. If you look at the horn on the head, it's a horn. The Bible did not even say that the horn like a ram. Okay, this is a white lamb. It's not even full grown as a ram. Look at the horn. Did you see the horn? Small, right? So the bison, the horn like that small. The Bible did not say horn like a ram. Look at the next one. Look at the ram horn. See that? That's a ram horn. That's a ram horn. That's no longer a lamb. It's a sheep. You know the difference between a sheep and a lamb, right? We always say sheep is always full grown. Now when we say a man and a child, you see the difference? So when John saw that vision, he says, wow, beast, the beast that came out, you know, has horns like a lamb. It is said, horns like a ram. That got to make us understand. But interesting, he used the word lamb also because we understand why when we study it. This laid a basis, a foundation for our understanding of that. Of the two beasts of Revelation, chapter 13. We must look at the Word of God, try to understand it, by looking it at the Greek word especially, or the Hebrew word, what word are used actually. But we have the word translated beast in three places, but they are all different kinds of beasts. I don't know why we translation into English make it beast. But I'm not sure about the New King James. But I know the other version said about the living creature. I think they use the word living creature. Is it right? In the King James, they use beast too, right? New King James. But I believe in other Bible translation. In chapter 4, verse 8, or chapter 4, verse 6, the four living creatures, which should be the right word to use. But I guess they find it hard to use the word living creature because the word in Greek is zoon, it's just a word. So you put living creature, it will be two words. You see, what actually the word living, they could give it an italic form to show that it is not. You know, it gives the meaning to the creature as living creatures. And then also the same thing with Revelation we read later on in chapter 18, verse 13. The beast with the cattle and the sheep. Why use beasts? Why not use animals? Just use the word animals. Then we'll know they are not wild or any different kind of beasts. You know. Alright, so I just want to lay that down, and then now let me say this also. When we continue next week, we're going to look at the word false prophet. Now, we know in the Bible, we have the false prophet, and we have false prophets. We have Christ, we have false Christ. Now, there is one, the Christ, but there are many Christs, these anointed ones. And then we have false Christ, false anointed ones. So we need to understand when the Bible talks about, or even the word, the Antichrist. There's only one who is known as the Antichrist. Am I right? We all know that. But there are many Antichrists, even that we have today. Huh? And then we have prophet, and we have prophets. The false prophet, we have false prophets, and so on. So if we don't have this basis, then we have a confusion in understanding what the Bible is trying to tell us. We're going to deal with this next week on the second beast, because we're looking at what's going on in the world today. But just to give you a little of it, I want to say this. Whenever I talk about America, there are a lot of people who don't like to hear it. I have spoken to some Christian in America over many years. Many of them say, "Oh, Brother Dan, Richard, what are you always speaking against America, my country?" I want to say this, I love America, but I don't like the American spirit. I'm not against the people. I'm against the spirit and the system that's wrong. I'm speaking so that you understand what the Bible says. Don't defend America. When it is wrong, it is wrong. Don't defend Israel. When it is wrong, it is wrong. Don't defend Brother Branham. When he's wrong, he's wrong. Don't defend Peter in the Bible. When he's wrong, he's wrong. But we are people, we are so in love with some people, something, some nation of their own, that they forgot what the Bible teaches. As Barbara would say, call a spade, and nothing else. It's black, it's black. Nothing else. Huh? As I said this, when I grew up, as a teenager, back then in the 50s and the 60s, what do we have about America? What do we hear? In fact, in those days, you know, there's no television. And poor people cannot afford to go to a movie, a theater. So young kids like me as a teen, you know, preteen and in my early teen, what do we have? We read comics. And we borrow comics from the roadside store. Huh? I don't know whether some of you still remember that if you go to roadside, you can have 5 cents for two comics and you can read and return. And back in those days, what do I have? When television came, it was black and white. What did they show on TV? Westerns. I remember when I was a child, I was selling, you know, I was a hawker and selling food, you know, on a cart, so to speak, on a tricycle with my uncle from China. And I go to a place where they have this 10-cent open-air movie. I'll go watch it, and usually I like to watch a movie. You know, what do we cowboy and Indian? And man, oh man, everybody enjoy it, you see. And when we watch the movie, we were brainwashed as a child. We love America, we love the cavalry, we love the cowboy, they are the good guy. The Indian, the reindeer, they are the bad guys. Oh my. That's why when you see the movie, oh, you see here come the cavalry, ta 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 ta, everybody happy, oh, you see all the kids in the theater were cheering away. Now, I don't know about you young, you are in this Z generation, the millennium generation, whatever you call yourself, Y generation. You don't have this experience. Because the world today is different from the world that I live in the 50s and 60s. You know? And so I always love America. Everything that comes to Singapore and make in America, oh my, this is good. Very expensive, couldn't afford it. So we buy the cheap one made in Japan. Oh, that's no good. It rusts too fast. But now today it's the opposite. Huh? So, what then? I always love America. I went to America the first time. Wow, I went there, I said the land beautiful. You know, open air and everything like that. But there was a lot of things that caught my eye. I said, oh my, isn't what I thought it was? You read about it, but now you're seeing it. And after a few times when I returned back over the years, I learned one thing. That the spirit of America is really, really bad. And this is what the Bible is showing us in the second beast. And we'll talk about it. Alright? But I want to show you this. This is was reported. This article was out on the 8th. It's written there, 8th of September. And I circle at the bottom of it, it is from the French press. Trial of alleged 9/11 mastermind restarts days before anniversary. You probably wonder why I'm showing you this. Because it has something to do with the lies of America. Uh-oh, I can hear, I can see some of you out there now. It's a conspiracy! Richard, it's a conspiracy, brother Gann! You got to be very careful. Don't say everything is a conspiracy. Because there are a lot of facts that we can always look at and we can see what's going on. Even till today. And I want to say, did you know that America is fallen? Brother Branham in the 50s mentioned about it. Huh? The condition of America today is going to, God's going to deal with America's finishing up with America. Right? So let us all be prayerful in our world that we live in. Surely, you know, there's a lot of things that's going on in the world today. We have not only just the political issues around the world, catered by America, but we also have religious problems. Even here in Singapore, the government is trying to deal with it to make sure we all live in harmony. But many in other countries, there's so much hatred. You know, either because of race or because of certain religion that you hold on to, that you think that you are more superior than the others. And no wonder the Bible said the world is going to get more wicked. And sin will come upon the earth more and more. And may the Lord bless us, everyone, as we keep watching and praying and being prayerful and watching as to His coming. Amen. The Lord bless every one of you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your creation, Lord. Bless the holy name, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your goodness to us, O Father, for your faithfulness to your word and to the which you have promised, O Lord. And we are looking to your presence every day. And from day to day as we walk, Lord, let our spirit and our heart, O Father, be filled with your joy. And walk with us, Father, in your word. If our footstep, Father, should we take a deviation, a step out of line, hold our hand tight, Father, and put us back. That we walk with you all the time. We know that, Lord, you are a good shepherd. And you watch over your sheep. And we know the Lord in your hand is that rod. A shepherd's rod. I serve two purposes, Lord. To guide the sheep and tap them back and to stay in line, or the rod become a rod of chastisement. Father, we thank you. We thank you because you are our Father, you love us, and therefore you have to do what you need to do to keep us in line and in the family of God. We thank you, Father. Bless the word and bless everything, O Lord, that we have in our life now, we cast it upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.